I was told, I can't remember who told me this, but I was told that you guys just love the Word of God so much that you want to be here all night.
Amen.
So, you know, it's nice because usually if I'm speaking to a church, they, you know, they give me like a time limit or something, and I got to try and box it in. But I did no such thing today. I just, you know. I'll be honest with you. I'm just going to sit down and talk to you like a normal person.
Amen. Amen.
It's actually my favorite way to talk to a church, talk to believers. I did not know that I was going to teach on the subject today until just a few days ago. There's some things that the Lord's given me understanding of, and when I get opportunity to speak to believers, usually I go right to those things. Because I know how rare they are to be taught in churches, and they're important. The main thing that I like to teach on is the righteousness of faith. So in my mind, I'm thinking, well, maybe I should teach on this because, hey, I'm only here for a day, right?
Right.
And then, so I was kind of leaning that way, and then there were some other things that came up, and I was like, oh, maybe I should teach on this. But it just seemed like whenever I opened my Bible this week, the Lord just kept bringing me back to this subject, and I couldn't do anything about it. So this is what we're looking at today. So what we're going to be looking at is what Jesus said are the first and second commandments. I know in my title I said the two great commandments. Thank you. Actually, in the scripture, Jesus only says the first one is the great one, so don't hold that against me. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 22. We're going to read a couple of parallel accounts about this, just to get a fuller sense of it.
22, sir?
Matthew 22, yep. And before we get started, let's have someone open with a word of prayer. How about you? I forgot your name.
Me?
What's your name?
Nick. Yes, sir.
That was going to be my first guess, honestly. can you open us a prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to have this Bible study and have Brother Ray here. And I very much also profited from the last time he was here and the message you preached on grace. I pray that you would help us to be receptive and to be able to just force ourselves to focus, to be able to keep the world out. I ask that you would teach us something, that we would leave here with something that's new to us, something that we could expound upon and get the Word of God and go somewhere with Christ. And thank you very much for all that you're going to do here tonight. I pray this in your holy name.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, that is exactly my hope for this teaching as well, is that it would not just be something cool to look at, but it would really help us to have a deeper spiritual understanding of the Bible, of life, and of these two great commandments. So Matthew chapter 22 and verses 35 to 40. It says, then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So these are two very important commandments. Basically, the guy's asking, which one is the greatest one? Which one is the most important commandment out of all of them? And Jesus gives it to him, but he also says, the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, because they're very much connected. Let's go to Mark chapter 12. And we'll read the same account here. Mark Mark chapter 12, verse 28. It says, "And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, 'Which is the first commandment of all?' And Jesus answered him, 'The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these.' And the scribe said unto him, 'Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices.' And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, 'Thou art not far from the kingdom of God.' And no man after that durst ask him any question." So, it seems like this guy was tempting him. That's what it says in the other account. He was tempting him. He trying to trick him. They like to do that. Trying to trick Jesus into making a mistake or saying something where they could catch him in his words and use it as an occasion against him. But it seems like when Jesus gave him this answer, the guy realized, hey, you know what? This is truth. And he took hold of it, and Jesus said that, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." These two commandments, Jesus said, the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. He said, the first one, I got it here, number one, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all the strength, soul, heart, mind, understanding." Number two, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And we're going to talk about these two commandments. Jesus said, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." These two commandments really, they're the framework for human life. They're not just like, you know, there's a lot of commandments in the Bible about, well, thou shalt do this, thou shalt do that, you know, take a lamb of the first year and do this. And, you know, there's all kinds of different commandments in the Bible. These aren't just two of the bunch. These are the framework for human life. Everything hangs on these two commandments. And I wrote this ahead of time because I didn't want to have to write as we were speaking, because this thing is kind of flimsy and I didn't want to knock it over. So I kind of did a full reveal at the beginning. But basically, these two commandments, they're not just two individual commandments. They are, but when you put them together, they're really establishing a hierarchy. And I kind of listed three different groups of things that are governed by these two commandments. And we're going to take a look at that. One thing I want to make crystal clear is that this commandment is greater than this one. Okay? It's greater. It's a higher, a more important commandment. They're both very important, critically important. But this one is greater than that one. God wants us to love our neighbor as ourself, but that is not to be compared to this one. Just a couple of things we'll look at just to establish that sense. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 13. As we go through this, one thing that you might recognize is that the world, for the most part, when you talk to people, if you talk to someone who's like sensible and they're willing to reason and think about how things are and what they ought to do, they have a conscience in their heart that God put there. And they will agree with this one. People in the world will agree with this one. that they know that they are supposed to love one another. Mm-hmm. And they'll talk about morality, and it always comes back to this one.
Yeah.
The one they tend to avoid is this one. They think everything's about this one.
Right.
Well, as long as I don't kill my neighbor, I mean, I never killed anyone. I never did this. I never did that. I never stole anything from my neighbor. I never committed adultery. See, I'm good here.
Right, brother.
This one's greater. Deuteronomy chapter 13, let's start in verse 4. It says, "Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him, and keep his commandments, and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him." Verse 6, "If thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is as thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, Let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers, namely of the gods of the people which are round about you, nigh unto thee, or far off from thee, from one end of the earth, even unto the other end of the earth, thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him, neither shall thine eye pity him, neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him, but thou shalt surely kill him. Thy hand shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterwards the hand of all the people. And thou shalt stone him with stones that he die, because he hath sought to thrust thee away from the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." Well, that seems kind of cruel, right? I mean, we're supposed to love everybody, you know, like we love ourselves, but here God's saying, well, even your best friend, your brother, your son, your daughter, or even your wife. He says, if they try to turn you away from the Lord, don't spare them, don't pity them, kill them. Your hand should be first upon it. Now, this was a law that was given to the Jews in the Old Testament, okay? God's not saying today, look, if you know, there's somebody comes into your church and he's like, hey, you know, I think you ought to be a Jehovah's Witness or something. God's not saying go and kill him, okay? That's something that he did with this nation because it was a peculiar nation. He was doing something special with that nation in the Old Testament, and he didn't want anybody coming in there to pollute the people,
right,
and turn them away from the Lord their God, who brought them out of the land of Egypt. Why? Because God said, he is thy life and the length of thy days. That's what God was to those people. He was so important to them that if anybody else came in and they started turning people away from God, you know what they're turning them to?
Right.
Death. You're turning them from life to death. You're turning them from light to darkness. And God said, you know what? I got things that are more important than the people, than the individual who's going to turn you away from me. You see, he's setting up a hierarchy here. You love the Lord thy God with all. Okay? Men, they're down here. We're supposed to love God more than that. Let's go to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. This man, Abraham, someone who loved God, someone who endeavored to live his life in a way that pleased God, is a man who walked by faith. Verse 1, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here am I. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. God didn't say go offer your son because you hate him. And Abraham didn't go because he hated his son. God said, you love your son. But what's God saying through this passage? He's saying, love your son. He's a person. He's a soul. He's a man. He's got his place. You should love him. But you should love me more.
That's right, bro.
And when I tell you to do something, you do it.
That's good.
And Abraham did this. He went, and he was going to offer his son. You know what happened out of this?
Right.
There's a lot that happened out of this.
Right.
But just the thing that came to mind as I was reading this is that he was called the friend of God.
Mm.
The friend of God. That's something special.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. These two great commandments that we're talking about, they're actually from the law of Moses, from Leviticus and Deuteronomy. We're going to take a look at them real quick. Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus 19. We're going to look at verses 17 and 18. And he says, thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. It's interesting, you know, a lot of these commandments that God gives, he ends them with, I am the Lord. And I believe it's because he doesn't want us to just think of them as rules. He wants us to remember who they're coming from and who he is. Verse 17, he says, thou shalt not hate thy brother in thy heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. He says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, why does he say rebuke him and not suffer sin upon him? Well, let me ask you, is that what you would want somebody to do for you? Okay? If you were sinning against God, knowing the wages of sin is death, but maybe, I don't know, maybe you're sinning in ignorance, maybe you just think you're doing it in secret and, you know, it's not a big deal. Would you want to follow that thing all the way through to the end, which is death? Or would you want someone who cares about you to come to you and say, hey, that sin, it's against God, and this is the wages, this is
That's
the way
good.
It ends.
That's good.
Right.
Is that what you want somebody to do for you?
Yes.
He's saying do that for your neighbor. Don't hate him in your heart. It would be hatred to not tell him. Love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. Go over to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, this is the scripture that Jesus quoted, we just read a moment ago. Verse 4, he says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. I like what it says in verse 6 too. He says, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. That's what God always wanted for his children, is for his word to be in our heart.
Yep.
Amen. Before we go any further, let me just explain a little bit about this this thing I did on the board. So, somebody asked me, my mom or my sister, why I have number 2 on the left and number 1 on the right. Well, I'll answer that question. It's because we're going to start off by talking about number 2. And then we're going to proceed this way. But if you were to read this in Hebrew, right to left, then you start with 1 and go to 2. Okay? That's my excuse.
There you go. Good.
I put it this way because I wanted to talk about it in this order. Amen. All right. So let's start talking about this. So thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. One thing that I want to say about love is that it's relative. Okay? At least in a lot of times it's relative. Okay? Just an example, Jacob had 2 wives. He had a wife named Leah, a wife named Rachel, and he loved Rachel more than Leah. And then it says the Lord saw that Leah was hated. What does that mean? Does it mean Jacob just, he despised her, he wanted to kill her, he just couldn't stand her? It meant he loved Rachel more.
Right.
When you love someone else more than something else, then you can consider that thing hated in that sense. You love one, you hate the other. Okay? If I were to ask you, like, what's your favorite food? I'll tell you what my favorite food is. It's probably barbecue chicken. I love barbecue chicken. Why do I say that I love barbecue chicken? It's in relation to all other foods. Okay? If all I had to eat was barbecue chicken, I don't know if I could say I loved it. It's just kind of the way things are, you know what I mean? But if you like compare that to cream of mushroom soup, yes, I love barbecue chicken. Okay? Jesus said, if a man hate not his father and mother and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Why did he say that? What, I thought we're supposed to love our neighbor as ourself. How can you say I'm supposed to hate my father and my mother and hate my own life also? And if I'm supposed to hate my own life also, and I'm supposed to love my neighbor as myself, does that mean I'm supposed to hate everybody? That's not what Jesus is saying.
Right.
He's talking about in relation to God. Okay? You're supposed to... Okay. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Remember when I said love is relative? He is giving you a comparison right here to show you how much to love your neighbor. He says, as yourself. This one, on the other side, there's no comparison. This is what he says. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. With everything you got, everything you can muster, everything that you have the capacity for in every part of your being. That's how you love God. Okay? See, we're here. We're here in the middle. This is where people are. You know, the Declaration of Independence said that God made all men equal, right? We're all created equal. It's true in some senses. It's not true in others. Some people are tall. Some people are short. Some people are strong. Some people are weak. Some people are smart. Some people are like me.
Smarter?
You're right.
What's that?
Nice save.
Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself here. Let me go back to this part. Okay, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. If you look at our life, okay, life in this world, it basically there's 3 different categories of things, okay? On the left side, I have things, okay? Don't worry about those other things for now. I have things, okay? Things. Life is filled with things. We've got persons. Okay? Those are the people that you see filling a church. You see them out on the street. People. You've got principles. Okay? That's basically what life is. And with these two commandments, God is setting up an order. See, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He's saying that you should love other people to a greater degree than you love other things. Okay? Because that's where you are. He's saying, as thyself. That's where you are. Let's go to Psalm 104. We'll look at a couple of the Psalms. Psalm 104, we're going to look at verses 14 and 15.
Thank you.
It's just talking about some of the things that God made and their purposes. Verse 14, it says, He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, an herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth. And wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. Why am I looking at this? I'm just showing you some of the things that are in the earth, and God designed it this way, that these things are for the use of man. They have a purpose. When you look at the things that are in the world, the Bible says that God formed the earth to be inhabited. This is our home. This is our dwelling place. Okay? The things that we have in the earth, they're for us to use. Some of them are like just scenery to make it look nice. Okay? There's animals. The Bible calls them living things. But they're just things, okay? Let's go to Psalm 8. We're going to read verse 3-8. He says, When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Let me just stop there. First of all, let me just say, in verse 4, this is a great question to ask. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Because a lot of people in the world, they think man is just one of these guys. An animal. Okay? What is man? You need to go to God for the answer to that. What is man? God created man and he did something special with him. He put him in a special position. He gave him dominion over the earth. And there's a lot more I could say on this subject, but I'm going to really try and stay on topic here. But it's a good question to ask and also to consider that God is mindful of him. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 5, For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. It says in verse 6, Thou hast put all things under his feet. Why did I come here? I wanted to show you things are lesser than people. God put man here with all things under his feet. And yes, like we just read, that includes animals. Okay? I'm just trying to set up the hierarchy. This is something that you can think of to help you just understand what's in the Bible. Like, this is... It's just the way things are. I don't know how else to say it. I was thinking about this all week. It's just the way things are. There's people which are greater than things. In Matthew 6:26, Jesus is, you don't have to turn there, I'm just going to quote it. But Jesus is talking about the fowl of the air. And he says, "Your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" Man, better than they. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go to Matthew 12, though. Read a little bit more there. Matthew 12. I'm going to read 1 to 12. It says, "At that time Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were anhungered, and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, Have ye not read what David did when he was anhungered, and they that were with him? How he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests? Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath day the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless, for the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." And in another place, in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, he says that the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. See, the Sabbath is a thing. It's not up here, okay? The Sabbath is a thing. It was made for man, he says. Now, in the Old Testament, there's a guy that went out on the Sabbath day collecting sticks, and God said, kill him. I don't think it's so much because of the Sabbath day, because the Sabbath day was just a thing. Why did he say that? Because the man had utter disregard for the commandment of God. That's why.
Yes.
And again, back to what we were looking at before, God didn't want that thing to spread. He said, put him to death.
Yep.
Okay? Yep. It's that important.
Right.
Because I can't have these people. I'm trying to save these people. I'm trying to give them life. I'm trying to bring them into this land. I can't have people departing from my commandments following this guy.
That's good, bro. Yes, sir.
Let's continue on here. Verse 9. It says, "And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him? And he said unto them, What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep? And if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore, it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days." Amen. The things I wanted to mention, first of all, he says man is better than sheep. Okay? I hope we've established that.
Amen.
Okay? There's
Yeah.
People, I don't know. I mean, I hope you've understood by now that. I mean, to me, it goes without saying, you know, man is better than a sheep because I'm familiar with the Word of God. But there's so many people out there that don't understand this. Oh, they're our brothers. Second, he says in verse 7, he said, "If ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice." You know what's more important to God than the sacrifice? And you know what? He commands sacrifices at times. But what's more important to Him is mercy. We're gonna take a look at why that is. But you can just see from that passage that sacrifice is a thing. Mercy is higher on God's estimation. All right. So we've pretty much covered, I think, this part of the thing. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Yeah, part of that is realizing that people, your neighbors, the people around you, they're more important than things. They're more important than animals. Why do I have the word lusts in here? Because when you love these things over here too much, you know what that's called? It's called lust. That's what lust is. It's loving these things. It's okay to love them in some way, but not compared to this. Certainly not compared to this. As a matter of fact, there's a part in the Old Testament where God says, when you come into the land, you're going to rejoice before the Lord your God, and you can have this, and you can have this, and you can have whatsoever thy soul lusteth after. I thought lust was always bad. Well, sometimes it's okay. God said that. I'm not going to argue with Him. See, there's times when it's okay to love these things. But not in relation to this. Not in relation to this. Okay? We're in the Gospel of Matthew. Let's turn to chapter 7. I would say we're roughly halfway done, just FYI. Matthew chapter 7, verse 9. Jesus said, "Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him?" Okay? Let me just stop there for now. Why would you have this thing. You have bread. Isn't it good bread? You have a fish. Isn't it a good fish? Why don't you keep it for yourself? See this? You have a thing. Might be a good thing, but you know what's more important? To show love to people. Okay? In this case, the people is your children. But, yeah, that's what a gift is. It's showing preference for people over things. That's why you're willing to give something good to someone else. I think it was John the Baptist that said, you know, when they came to him when he's baptizing, they came to him and said, "What should we do?" He said, "Well, he that hath two coats, let him give one to the man that hath none." Why? Because he's another person and you're supposed to love him as yourself. You're not better than him. If you want a coat for yourself, If you got two, give one to him.
Good.
And then verse 12. He says, therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Again, Jesus said, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets, right? This verse, verse 12, whatsoever things you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. People call that the golden rule. And it's present in all different cultures. It's been preached by a lot of people, even outside of Christianity. Like I said, people in the world will generally assent to this one. They know that's a good thing. They know that they should do that. But that's part of loving your neighbor as yourself. If there's something that you want done to you, do it to others. I'm just going to take a step beyond that now. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. He says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Kind of looks like he's going a step beyond this commandment. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, esteeming other better than themselves. Why would he take you beyond this commandment? Because he wants you to grow past. This is where a lot of people think like the epitome of the word that I'm trying to think of, the pinnacle of human existence, you know, the highest virtue. To love other men.
Right.
Jesus is trying to say, look, I want you to go beyond that. Beyond that. That's what he did on that cross. He wasn't saying, hey, you know, I'm better than everybody. I'm the Son of God. I'm just gonna, you know, sit up here on my throne and I want you guys all down there serving me. He says, you know what? I want to save you guys and I'm willing to die to do it. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. Again, we're kind of graduating from this to this. Matthew chapter 5. In verse 43, Jesus said, ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. By the way, that's not what that commandment said back there in the Old Testament. But he said, ye have heard that it hath been said. Okay? But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you.
Oh, yes.
Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Why? that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? As I said, to love thy neighbor as thyself, like, who's, in one of the accounts, it's in Luke, Jesus gives the parable of the Good Samaritan. And then, because the guy asked him, well, who is my neighbor? He gives the parable of the Good Samaritan, and then he says, which one was the neighbor? And the guy says, the one that showed mercy. Okay? The one that showed mercy. He's saying, you choose who you're going to be a neighbor to. Show them mercy. You're going to be the neighbor. It's not about, well, who's the guy that I have to keep this commandment to? He says, you be the neighbor. But he says here, love your enemies. Why? So that you could be the children of your Father which is in heaven. See, the Father looks down on this earth. He sees a bunch of little sinners screwing up his planet. And you know what he does? He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He loved his enemies. It says in Romans 5 that we were his enemies. But he wants us to do likewise so that we can be his children and be like him. Verse 47, and if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Amen. Amen. We're going to move toward this side now, okay? Kind of talked about this stuff. Let's talk about God, okay? First thing that I want to say, I think it just kind of goes without saying, but I'm going to say it anyway. It says in Job 33, verse 12, God is greater than man. Amen. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
Amen. God is greater than man. In John 4, 24, Jesus is speaking to the woman at the well, and he says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Okay? God is a spirit. Now, let me say this before I go any further, because I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying. God is a person. God is a person. And don't let me confuse you with all my diagrams and things I'm running you through. God is a person. It says in Hebrews 1 that Jesus Christ, his Son, is the express image of his person. We'll come back to that later, but I just want to say, God is a person. But God isn't just some dude, okay? He's not just some guy. He's not like me or you, like we're just this individual and that's what we are. God is a spirit. What is a spirit? Okay? Jesus said when he rose again, he said, a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. Okay? So what does a spirit have? Let's go to Isaiah 11. This is kind of in contrast to how the world thinks about love. You know, a lot of people, you know, a guy meets a girl. Wow, she looks really good. I think I'm in love.
Yeah.
You know what he's seeing? He's seeing flesh and bones. Yeah. Okay? You know what he's seeing? He's seeing a thing. You know, Jesus said if a man look after a woman to commit it, you know, to lust after her, he's committed adultery with her already in his heart. You'll say, well, that's lusting after a person, right? No. When you look after a person like that, you're not treating her as a person. You're treating her as a thing.
That's right.
Go ahead, brother.
Amen to that.
You treat her as a person. You don't lust after her like that.
It's good, brother.
Lord,
go ahead and help you,
Lord.
Right.
Spirit hath not flesh and bones. What does a spirit have? Look at Isaiah 11. In verse 2, it says, "And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord." What does a spirit have? A spirit has principles. A spirit has virtues. A spirit has qualities. It has things that it's about. Okay? The spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love." Oh, by the way, you know, we can even back right up to verse 19 just to get a little contrast here. He says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Remember what Jesus said to that man? "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." Why? It's about these two commandments. It's about people, and it's about God, and in the right order. When you start chasing all these other things, adultery, fornication, idolatry, witchcraft, murders, all these things, drunkenness, these are about things. These are about lusts. These are about putting these in a place where they don't belong. It's out of order. As a matter of fact, you know, I have over here principles, virtues. And this is where God is. God is a spirit. If you were to go to the other end, you could go right off the chart here. If you were to go even further. Excuse me, I'm going to avail myself of this water in a minute.
Would you like some coffee?
This is perfect. Thank you. See, you know what? Before I get there, let's just continue reading the next couple of verses. That'll make the point a little bit better. Verse 22, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit," that's God's Spirit, right, "is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Okay. These are the qualities that are intrinsic to God. It says here that these are the fruit of His Spirit. That's because He has those qualities. Those are the things that God is all about. And when His Spirit is inside us, His Spirit brings forth that same fruit in us as well. But these are God's qualities: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And you can go on and on, because this isn't the full list. There's truth, there's light, there's mercy, there's compassion, there's justice, there's judgment. Those are His qualities. It says God is the Spirit. What is He the Spirit of? I'll tell you this. God is the Spirit of everything that's good. That's where it comes from. You see, in the beginning, in creation, God made things. He made animals. He made persons. Well, what about this stuff? The principles, the virtues, the qualities, the love. Where was love created? It's eternal because it's part of Him. It's part of Him. He didn't have to create it. It's part of Him. It's in His character. It's in His person. But like I was saying, you know, it talks about all these sins, all these evils. It says, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God is here. It has to do with these two commandments. And like I was saying, if you were to go off the end of this chart, you'd see a fourth column over here. Because if you keep going this way, you're going to get to things that are the opposite of what God has. He's got peace. That's one of His qualities. The Bible says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. But it says, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. You keep moving this way. Look, God is light. You keep moving this way, you're going toward darkness.
Right.
And you know what? There's people that actually, we're supposed to love God. We're supposed to love the light. There's people who actually love darkness.
Right.
That's even worse than this.
Right.
People that love darkness. Years ago, there was a man that started coming to our church. I think we met him in a street ministry or something. He started coming to the church. He was there for, I don't know, a few weeks, a few months. And after a while, he stopped coming. And one of the brothers ran into him and they said, hey, why'd you stop coming to the church? And he said, man, I just can't do it anymore. I love darkness. That's sad.
Yeah, sad.
But if you keep going this way and putting these things out of order, you're going to end up going this way and actually getting to the point where you hate God so much that you love the bad things that are opposed to Him. Darkness. There's people that love to hate. You know why? Because God is love. There's people that love cruelty. They love violence. Why? Because God is peace. God is life. The Bible says about wisdom, all that hate me love death. Why? Because God has wisdom.
Yep.
And He's life. When they hate wisdom, they love death.
Right.
Just quoted this verse, but 1 John 1:5 says that God is light, and in Him there's no darkness at all. Again, I said that God is a person, but He's also a spirit. He's the spirit of everything that's good, every virtue you can think of. He is the spirit of that. Let's go to John chapter 3. We're almost done. I hope you're enjoying this as much as I am.
Excellent.
Yeah, excellent.
John chapter 3. Again, as I said, God is light. John chapter 3, starting verse 16. He says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So that's where the salvation is. If you don't believe, or you haven't believed yet, you're in condemnation because you don't have the salvation.
Right.
Verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. That's why people hate God. That's why people won't come to God. Is because they're so in love with something that's evil,
right,
that it's keeping them from going to him, because they don't want it to be taken away from them.
Yes, that's right.
They've got some spot of darkness that they don't want the light to be shined on, so that they'll have to come clean and get rid of it. Verse 21, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Again, he doeth truth, he cometh to the light, and it says his deeds are wrought in God. God is the light. He's, if you're going to do truth, by the way, truth isn't just being honest. It's not just, you know, what you say. Like it says right here, truth. You're supposed to do truth. See, there's a right way that God set up, and you can see it in these two commandments.
Right.
And when you do what's right in the sight of God according to his commandments, you're doing the truth.
Good.
And what you do is in God.
Good.
Let's go to Luke chapter 12. Just going to look at a couple of scriptures that show kind of both things together here, just to kind of tie it together. Luke chapter 12. Verse 13. And we'll read down to verse 21. So verse 13, Luke 12, 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. See, this guy comes to Jesus, and he's got a brother, and an inheritance fell to them. And the guy's worried about getting his share of the stuff, his share of the things. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto him, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Jesus is trying to put an order to things. Man's life is not about this. You want to know what man's life is about? This and this. It's about people. It's about God. Okay? You got an inheritance? You got things? Okay, well, love your brother more than the things. Amen? Verse 16, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, Thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. See, this man, he had a bunch of things. And he just loved things, and he just kept piling up things. For what? For himself. For himself. Doesn't say he gave anything to the poor. Doesn't say he gave anything to his neighbor. He just kept piling up stuff for himself. And you know what? Verse 21. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself. There's his treasure. His things. But is not rich toward God. You want to be rich toward God? Love thy neighbor as thyself. Love the Lord thy God with all. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Chapter 6 and verse 3. He says, If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. That's what Jesus Christ's doctrine is all about. Godliness. It's all about these virtues, these principles, these qualities of God, that's called godliness. And he wants us to have them by taking heed to his doctrine.
Good.
Verse 4. If you consent not to wholesome words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. See, there's a lot of people that say gain is godliness. If you got a lot of stuff, if you're prosperous in this world, well, you must be godly, right? He turns this around. He says, you know what? Godliness with contentment is great gain. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world, all the things of the world, and lose his own soul? See, if you have God, he's where the salvation is. You get to save your soul in him. But if you remember, Jesus said that if a man seek to save his own life, he's going to lose it. If your life is all about these things, the things that you have, the possessions that you have, the lusts that you're chasing after, if that's your life, you're going to lose it. He says, hate that life.
Right.
Hate that life. But if he hates his life for my sake and the gospel's, he'll save it. This is where the salvation is. Let's just continue on here. Verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. This is where the gain is. It's in godliness. For we brought nothing into this world. Nothing. No thing. Thing.
Good.
We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. See, all the things over here, the things of this world, the world passeth away. God created things for a purpose, like we looked at. But all the fashion of this world passeth away. You know what's going to make it into the world to come? It's going to be people And God's going to be there. And God's only bringing certain people into that world. And they're the people who are His children because they're godly, because they love Him and have, when He's in them, they've taken His qualities into them too. And that's what godliness is. Verse 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Again, the love of money. Why do people love money? Because it gets them things. They can buy things. In some cases, it can even buy people. And when you do that, again, you're treating people as things. Those are the kind of people that can be bought. But he says, which while some coveted after, again, there's that lust, they have erred from the faith. See, faith is trying to pull you this way toward God. But coveting, lusting after things, pulling you that way. Verse 11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Why? Because that's who God is. All those things are found in God, and if you're chasing after those things, you're following after those things, you're following after God, and you're loving Him. One last thing before we wrap this up. Let's go to the book of Jeremiah. This is one of my favorite scriptures. Jeremiah chapter 9. I made a mistake. This isn't the last thing. We're going to go to one more after this. Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Those are His qualities. They're part of who He is. He delights in those things. And He exercises them in the earth. He has those qualities. He uses them to produce fruit. I just love this scripture, though. Let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. That's part of understanding and knowing God, is realizing that He's the spirit of all these good things. That He's light, that He's truth, that He's love, that He's holy.
Amen.
All those good things are part of Him. So the thing that we're going to end with, let's go to 1 John chapter 4. Remember before I made reference to Hebrews chapter 1, where it talks about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, being the express image of His person. What does that mean? Well, Jesus Christ came to this earth because we couldn't see the invisible God. The Bible says he is the invisible God. But Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He came here so that we could see, we could behold with our eyes who God is. He's the express image. What does that mean? He's the image that expresses who God is. And we see that in the gospel. That's what the gospel is. It's God demonstrating his character so that man could see it and know him for who he is. 1 John chapter 4, and we'll start in verse 7. And again, this just goes back to God's quality, who he is, his characteristics, his spirit, and just shows how that's supposed to be part of us too through the gospel. 1 John 4, 7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit." Notice that by him giving us his Spirit, we're in God. And at the same time, he's in us. Verse 14, "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him, because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also." Ultimately, the love that we're to have for our neighbor is supposed to come out of this love, that connection that we have with God.
Amen.
You love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. That's the very centermost part of your being. That's where you set your compass, the things that you're going to follow. That's your heart. With all your heart, love him. With all thy mind, that's what you occupy your thoughts with from day to day. That's like try not to use a software analogy. I don't know how many people will get that. Your mind, that's what your body runs on. That's what you run on from day to day. That's your mindset. He wants your mind to be stayed on him and to love him with all your mind, with all your soul. That's who you are. And you know what? None of us are the same. We're all different individuals. But with who we are and what we are. God wants us to love him with all of that and with all thy strength. That's all your might, all your power, all your effort, all your energy to love God with all of that. He's worthy. He's life. He's light. He's love. He's all the good qualities, all the good things you can think of. He's the spirit of all those things. That's why, you know, it's not just, you know, I want you to love me more than you love other people because I'm just some other guy. He's everything that's good. It's like, life can't be any other way. It really can't be. This is the first commandment. This is the second. Amen.